Chapter 9. Good with Goats. The boy standing in the rain looking at Tiffany at the back door of the cottage that was now hers, no longer Granny's, was not like her usual visitor. He was grubby, yes, but it was the grubbiness of the road rather than that of poverty, and he had a goat with him, which wasn't usual. But he didn't look in need. She looked closer. His clothing had once been expensive, high-class stuff. Needy, though, she thought, a few years younger than her, too. "Are you Mistress Aching the Witch?" he asked nervously as she opened the door. "Yes," said Tiffany, thinking to herself. "Well, at least he has done some homework, and he's not come knocking asking for Granny Weatherwax, and he's knocked at the back door just as he should. And I've just made myself some pottage, and it'll be going cold. What can I do for you? I'm sure you need something," she continued, because a witch turned nobody away. "No, mistress, by your leave, but I heard people talking about you as I was walking along the road. They say you are the best witch." "Well, folks can say anything," said Tiffany, "but it's what the other witches think that matters. How can I help you?" "I want to be a witch." The last word resonated in the air as if it was alive, but the boy looked serious and unhappy, and he ploughed on doggedly, saying, "Mr. Wiggall, my tutor, told me of one witch who became a wizard, so surely, mistress, the concept must go both ways. They say what's good for the goose is good for the gander, don't they?" "Well, yes," said Tiffany, uncertain of herself. "But many ladies do not like to deal with an unknown man, as it were, in private circumstances. A lot of our work involves being midwives, you know, and with the accent on wives." The boy's Adam's apple was shaking, but he managed to say, "I know that in the big city the Lady Sybil Free Hospital helps women and men alike. There is no doubt about it, mistress, that when it comes to surgery, there are ladies who are sometimes glad to see the surgeon." The boy seemed to brighten up for a moment and said, "I really feel I could be a witch. I know a lot about country things, and I have very little fingers, which were of great use some while ago on the road, when I had to deal with a goat in labour, and it was in trouble. I had to roll up my sleeves and fiddle about with care to get the kid lined up to leave his mother. It was messy, of course, but the kid was alive, and the old man who owned the goat was in tears of gratitude." "Really," said Tiffany, stonily, wondering when good with goats had become a qualification for being a witch. But the boy looked like a lost soul, so she relented and invited him in for a cup of tea. The goat was shown an overgrown patch of creep-along minny under the apple tree out of the rain, and seemed content to be left outside, although Tiffany could not help noticing, as any witch would notice, that it gave her an odd look of a kind not often seen in a goat's slotted eyes. The type of look that makes you wary of turning your back, definitely, but something more than that too. As she beckoned the boy in, she saw Yu stroll past the apple tree and suddenly stop, her back arching and her tail fluffing out to a remarkable size as she spotted the goat. There was a pregnant pause as the two eyed each other up, and Tiffany could have sworn she saw a quick flash of fluorescent light, greenish-yellow-purple, and then all was suddenly calm, as if there had been an agreement signed and sealed. The goat returned to its nibbling, and Yu subsided to her normal size and strolled past, almost brushing against the goat's legs. Tiffany was amazed. She had seen Nanny Ogg's cat Grebo run from Yu. What kind of goat was this? Perhaps, she thought with interest, this boy is also more than he seems. As they sat at the little kitchen table, she learned that the boy's name was Geoffrey, and that he was a long way from home. She noticed that he didn't seem to want to talk about his family, so she tried another tack. "I'm intrigued, Geoffrey," she said. "Why do you want to be a witch instead of a wizard, which is something traditionally thought of as a man's job?" "I've never thought of myself as a man, Mistress Tiffany. I don't think I'm anything. I'm just me," he said quietly. "Good answer," Tiffany said to herself. Then she wondered, not for the first time, about the differences between wizards and witches. The main difference, she thought, was that wizards used books and staffs to create spells about big stuff, and they were men, while witches, always women, dealt with everyday stuff. Big stuff, too, she reminded herself firmly. What could be bigger than births and deaths? But why shouldn't this boy want to be a witch? She had chosen to be a witch, so why couldn't he make the same choice? With a start, she realised it was her choice that counted here too. If she was going to be a sort of head witch, she should be able to decide this. She didn't have to ask any other witches. It could be her decision, her responsibility, perhaps a first step towards doing things differently. She looked at Geoffrey. "There's something about this lad, and I don't know what it is," she decided. "But he seems harmless and looks quite downtrodden, so I will decide, and I choose to give him a try. As for the goat..." "Well," she said, "I can give you some bedding in the lean-to and some food and drink for today. Your goat is your responsibility. But it's getting late now, so we will talk again tomorrow." Next morning, whilst waiting for Nanny to drop by, Tiffany went to the lean-to with some food. The boy was asleep. She coughed carefully, and the boy jumped at the sound. "Very well, Geoffrey. Now tell me the truth. Are you running away from somebody? Parents, perhaps?" "No, I'm not," said Geoffrey, taking a mouthful of the bread Tiffany had brought, but pushing the slice of ham to one side. "You little fibber," thought Tiffany, like any witch good at spotting a lie. Spotting the truth was much harder. She sighed. "Are you just running away from home, then?" "Well, you could say that, mistress, but I am 16, and I just wanted to leave." "Don't get on with your father, do you?" said Tiffany, and she saw the boy metaphorically jump, as if she'd hit a nerve. "How could you see that, mistress?" Tiffany sighed. "It does say witch on the door, doesn't it? I might not be much older than you, but you aren't the first runaway I've dealt with, and I'm absolutely certain there will be many more. Although," she added, "never one as high-born as you are, Mr. Geoffrey. Good coat, you see. Well, now, of what use can you be to me and my steading, Geoffrey?" "Oh, quite a lot, mistress," he said, trying to sound definite, but just seeming hopeful. And at that moment Nanny Ogg came round the corner of the cottage. Not there one minute, and then suddenly there, which was, Tiffany knew, Nanny's way. She looked at Geoffrey, made an instant judgment, then winked at Tiffany and said, "Anything going on, Tiff?" Tiffany saw a suggestive grin on Nanny's wrinkled face, as if an apple was suddenly leering at her. Geoffrey looked as if he was going to flee. "It's all right, Nanny. Meet Geoffrey here," Tiffany said sharply. "He wants to be a witch." "Really?" Nanny chortled. "You mean he wants to do magic. Send him to the wizards." Now Geoffrey looked like a little fawn about to dash away. Nanny Ogg could affect people like that. "No, he wants to be a witch, Nanny. Do you understand?" Tiffany saw a naughty little gleam in Nanny's eyes as she said, "So, he wants to be a witch, does he? Perhaps he should learn what us witches has to put up with before he decides proper-like. I mean, he might still want to give them wizards a go if he's got any magic in him. I know. Make him a back-house boy." A back-house boy was like a male scullery maid, doing all the odd and usually dirty jobs around the homestead. Things like killing chickens and stringing pheasants, cleaning shoes, peeling potatoes, and any other task that was messy and occasionally dangerous. There was usually one on home farm, gradually learning what farming was all about. "I tells you what," Nanny continued, looking at the trembling boy, "let's try him out with Mr. Nimlet. You knows what his toenails is like." Yes, like all old men's toenails, Tiffany thought. She looked at the boy, who was so terribly anxious to be helpful, and took pity on him and said, "There's more to being a witch than you think, Geoffrey, but if you'd like to be my back-house boy, we'll see how you go. And first of all, I'd like you to do something about an old man's horrible toenails." "You may need a shield," said Nanny Ogg. The boy looked at Tiffany questioningly. "Oh, dear," said Tiffany, "Mr. Nimlet's toenails tend to be thick and strong and very, very difficult to deal with. You need really sharp secateurs, and even then the blessed things go pinging off around the room. You have to be careful about your eyes, too." She studied the boy's face. He looked determined to meet any obstacle, even flyaway toenails. Nanny was grinning, so Tiffany said, "I've got a birth to see to. Nanny, would you be kind enough to take Geoffrey to Mr. Nimlet and see how he does? Oh, and tell him to remember to collect the clippings. Rob anybody has a use for them, so he does." "Can I take Mephistopheles with me?" Geoffrey asked. Nanny spun on her heels. "Mephis what?" she said slowly. "My goat," Geoffrey said, pointing towards the paddock where Mephistopheles was investigating the remains of the dandelion patch. "Or rather, he is his own goat, but we travel together. He is a very clever companion." Nanny snorted. "See," Geoffrey added proudly, as they watched Mephistopheles daintily cross the paddock and nose open the door of the little shed by the beech tree, "he has even learned to use the privy." And Nanny, for once in her life, was speechless.